Today is the 21st day of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. And here we are, center of the week, moving through the middle of another one of our weeks together. And it is fantastic to be here with you today as we do what we do. Take the next step forward together. Our next step kinda sort of leads us into new territory. We finished the book of 1 Kings yesterday, and so we're going to begin 2 Kings in just a moment. It's just that there's not a whole lot to talk about here. These manuscripts were broken apart for the ease of finding things, and so we're not moving into new territory. We don't need to kind of do this overview of what's going to be happening. We're continuing this journey through the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel and sort of what was going on during their reigns. And so we're moving through history pretty quickly. Sometimes we slow down and get more details on certain kings, and others we get like a paragraph when actually a whole generation goes by in that paragraph. But as we begin 2 Kings, we will see a transition. We had a prophetic voice in the book of 1 Kings. His name was Elijah. And we will watch a transition between Elijah and his successor, Elisha. And so let's dive in together. Today, 2 Kings, chapters 1 and 2. After the death of King Ahab of Israel, the country of Moab rebelled against Israel. King Ahaziah of Israel fell off the balcony on the roof of his palace in Samaria and was seriously injured. So he sent some messengers to consult Baal-zebub, the god of the Philistine city of Ekron, in order to find out whether or not he would recover. But an angel of the Lord commanded Elijah, the prophet from Tishbe, to go and meet the messengers of King Ahaziah and ask them, "Why are you going to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Is it because you think there is no God in Israel? Tell the king that the Lord says, you will not recover from your injuries. You will die." Elijah did as the Lord commanded, and the messengers returned to the king. "Why have you come back?" he asked. They answered, "We were met by a man who told us to come back and tell you that the Lord says to you, why are you sending messengers to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Is it because you think there is no God in Israel? You will not recover from your injuries. You will die." "What did the man look like?" the king asked. "He was wearing a cloak made of animal skins tied with a leather belt," they answered. "It's Elijah," the king exclaimed. Then he sent an officer with 50 men to get Elijah. The officer found him sitting on a hill and said to him, "Man of God, the king orders you to come down." "If I am a man of God," Elijah answered, "may fire come down from heaven and kill you and your men." At once, fire came down and killed the officer and his men. The king sent another officer with 50 men who went up and said to Elijah, "Man of God, the king orders you to come down at once." "If I am a man of God," Elijah answered, "may fire come down from heaven and kill you and your men." At once, the fire of God came down and killed the officer and his men. Once more, the king sent an officer with 50 men. He went up the hill, fell on his knees in front of Elijah, and pleaded, "Man of God, be merciful to me and my men. Spare our lives. The two other officers and their men were killed by fire from heaven, but please be merciful to me." The angel of the Lord said to Elijah, "Go down with him and don't be afraid." So Elijah went with the officer to the king and said to him, "This is what the Lord says. Because you sent messengers to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, as if there were no god in Israel to consult, you will not get well. You will die." Ahaziah died, as the Lord had said through Elijah. Ahaziah had no sons, so his brother Joram succeeded him as king in the second year of the reign of Jehoram, son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Everything else that King Ahaziah did is recorded in the history of the kings of Israel. The time came for the Lord to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elijah and Elisha set out from Gilgal, and on the way, Elijah said to Elisha, "Now stay here. The Lord has ordered me to go to Bethel." But Elisha answered, "I swear by my loyalty to the living Lord and to you that I will not leave you." So they went on to Bethel. A group of prophets who lived there went to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha answered, "but let's not talk about it." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Now stay here. The Lord has ordered me to go to Jericho." But Elisha answered, "I swear by my loyalty to the living Lord and to you that I will not leave you." So they went on to Jericho. A group of prophets who lived there went to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha answered, "but let's not talk about it." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Now stay here. The Lord has ordered me to go to the Jordan River." But Elisha answered, "I swear by my loyalty to the living Lord and to you that I will not leave you." So they went on, and 50 of the prophets followed them to the Jordan. Elijah and Elisha stopped by the river, and the 50 prophets stood a short distance away. Then Elijah took off his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided, and he and Elisha crossed to the other side on dry ground. There Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what you want me to do for you before I am taken away. Let me receive the share of your power that will make me your successor," Elisha answered. "That is a difficult request to grant," Elijah replied, "but you will receive it if you see me as I am being taken away from you. If you don't see me, you won't receive it." They kept talking as they walked on. Then suddenly, a chariot of fire pulled by horses of fire came between them, and Elijah was taken up to heaven by a whirlwind. Elisha saw it and cried out to Elijah, "My father, my father, mighty defender of Israel, you are gone." And he never saw Elijah again. In grief, Elisha tore his cloak in two. Then he picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He struck the water with Elijah's cloak and said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" Then he struck the water again, and it divided, and he walked over to the other side. The 50 prophets from Jericho saw him and said, "The power of Elijah is on Elisha." They went to meet him, bowed down before him, and said, "There are 50 of us here, all strong men. Let us go and look for your master. Maybe the spirit of the Lord has carried him away and left him on some mountain or in some valley." "No, you must not go," Elisha answered. But they insisted until he gave in and let them go. The 50 of them went and looked high and low for Elijah for 3 days, but didn't find him. Then they returned to Elisha, who had waited at Jericho, and he said to them, "Didn't I tell you not to go?" Some men from Jericho went to Elisha and said, "As you know, sir, this is a fine city, but the water is bad and causes miscarriages. Put some salt in a new bowl and bring it to me," he ordered. They brought it to him, and he went to the spring, threw the salt in the water, and said, "This is what the Lord says. I make this water pure, and it will not cause any more deaths or miscarriages." And that water has been pure ever since, just as Elisha said it would be. Elisha left Jericho to go to Bethel, and on the way, some boys came out of a town and made fun of him. "Get out of here, Baldy," they shouted. Elisha turned around, glared at them, and cursed them in the name of the Lord. Then two she-bears came out of the woods and tore 42 of the boys to pieces. Elisha went on to Mount Carmel and later returned to Samaria. Acts 13:42-14:7. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to come back the next Sabbath and tell them more about these things. After the people had left the meeting, Paul and Barnabas were followed by many Jews and by many Gentiles who had been converted to Judaism. The apostles spoke to them and encouraged them to keep on living in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, nearly everyone in the town came to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. They disputed what Paul was saying and insulted them. But Paul and Barnabas spoke out even more boldly. It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken first to you. But since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we will leave you and go to the Gentiles. For this is the commandment that the Lord has given us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, so that all the world may be saved. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and praised the Lord's message, and those who had been chosen for eternal life became believers. The word of the Lord spread everywhere in that region, but the Jews stirred up the leading men of the city and the Gentile women of high social standing who worshipped God. They started a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and threw them out of their region. The apostles shook the dust off their feet in protest against them and went on to Iconium. The believers in Antioch were full of joy and the Holy Spirit. The same thing happened in Iconium. Paul and Barnabas went to the synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of Jews and Gentiles became believers. But the Jews who would not believe stirred up the Gentiles and turned them against the believers. The apostles stayed there for a long time, speaking boldly about the Lord, who proved that their message about his grace was true by giving them the power to perform miracles and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some were for the Jews, others for the apostles. Then some Gentiles and Jews together with their leaders decided to mistreat the apostles and stone them. When the apostles learned about it, they fled to the cities of Lystra and Derbe and Lycaonia and to the surrounding territory. There they preached the good news. Psalm 139. God's complete knowledge and care. Lord, you have examined me and you know me. You know everything I do. From far away, you understand all my thoughts. You see me, whether I am working or resting. You know all my actions. Even before I speak, you already know what I will say. You are all around me on every side. You protect me with your power. Your knowledge of me is too deep. It is beyond my understanding. Where could I go to escape from you? Where could I get away from your presence? If I went up to heaven, you would be there. If I lay down in the world of the dead, you would be there. If I flew away beyond the east or lived in the farthest place in the west, you would be there to lead me. You would be there to help me. I could ask the darkness to hide me or the light around me to turn into night. But even darkness is not dark for you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You created every part of me. You put me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because you are to be feared. All you do is strange and wonderful. I know it with all my heart. When my bones were being formed, carefully put together in my mother's womb. When I was growing there in secret, you knew that I was there. You saw me before I was born. The days allotted to me had all been recorded in your book before any of them ever began. Oh God, how difficult I find your thoughts. How many of them there are. If I counted them, they would be more than the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh God, how I wish you would kill the wicked. How I wish violent people would leave me alone. They say wicked things about you. They speak evil things against your name. Oh Lord, how I hate those who hate you. How I despise those who rebel against you. I hate them with a total hatred. I regard them as my enemies. Examine me, O God, and know my mind. Test me and discover my thoughts. Find out if there is any evil in me and guide me in the everlasting way. Proverbs 17:19-21. To like sin is to like making trouble. If you brag all the time, you are asking for trouble. Anyone who thinks and speaks evil can expect to find nothing good, only disaster. There is nothing but sadness and sorrow for parents whose children do foolish things. Okay, so we've launched ourselves into 2 Kings, and we talked about the territory that we're going into. And then we got into the book of Acts, and we're seeing now Paul, who's the Apostle Paul, and Barnabas on this missionary journey. And what we're seeing is that everywhere that they go and begin to share the good news, it causes a reaction. It's not like a passive thing. And there is a reaction of either an open heart where people are just overjoyed at the immense good news that is being preached, or they are antagonistic toward it. It's kind of not a passive thing. And so we're seeing that everywhere that Paul goes, so that people are stirred up against them and people are stirred up for them. We'll continue to see this pattern as we continue this journey of the spread of the gospel of Jesus and the formation of the early church. And then we got to Psalm 139 today. It's a favorite one of mine, because when I read it, it seems like there's a question there. And the question is, where is God not? Where isn't he? Rather than the question we ask all the time, where is he? The Psalm's like, if I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the realm of the dead, you're there. If I go east or I go west, you're there. If I go to the far side of the ocean, you're there. You will guide me. Your strength will support me. So if this passage of scripture is true, then what's being indicated is that there is nowhere we can flee from God's presence, which then brings up the question, why are we always looking for it when it's right here, right now? So often that's motivated by a need for like an emotional connection, some sort of sense of his presence. But it seems that that's more about us than it is about God. It's like us getting ourselves into a place where we can experience the presence of God in worship. And then we kind of equate that experience with the presence of God, because it is the presence of God that we're actively experiencing. But his presence doesn't go away. We don't have to conjure him up in some sort of way so that that God is drawn near and now we're in his presence. What the psalm seems to be indicating is there's nowhere you can go that's not in his presence, including heaven and the realm of the dead. So it would be safe to say that in this life, there is nowhere we can flee from the presence of God. And that awareness is a bit of a game changer, because it means that God is present to us no matter what we feel like or no matter what is going on. So why not? Why don't we just practice that awareness today and consider that everything you do, every thought you have, every conversation that you participate in, every action that you take, no matter where you are, no matter what's going on, God is present. He is not distant. He is near. That should be comforting and maybe even sobering, because it brings up other questions like, what would I not want God to bear witness to? And like, what do I not want him to know about? Or what would embarrass me if I really thought that God knew about that? Typically, when we think of things in those terms, we are simply naming the things that are trying to seduce us away from God. So why don't we practice reality today? Let's practice reality. We are in the presence of God. Every breath we take, every move we make, he'll be watching over us. Let's practice this awareness today and then reflect upon how it influenced the day we lived, and then become aware that we can live every day aware of God's presence everywhere. And so, Holy Spirit, come into this. We so often are back and forth looking for where you went when you didn't go anywhere. It's that we probably did. Help us to settle into this awareness that there is nothing that we can do. We are in your presence now, and all we need to do is become aware of it. Lead and guide us today as we practice this. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That's home base, and that's where you can find out what's happening around here. The Daily Audio Bible app, which can be downloaded from whatever app store works with your device, puts that in the palm of your hand, and so much more. And so check that out. Check out the different sections, the community section. This is where links are to get connected on social media. This is where the prayer wall lives. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources that are available in a number of different categories for the journey that we are on. This voyage through the Bible in a year. So check that out. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if you find that being around the global campfire is life-giving, then thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's all for today. Other than to tell you the truth, I love you. And I'm grateful for the journey we are on together. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, Dabbers. John from New England calling with a quick belated praise report and a prayer request. A little over a year ago, I called in the middle of the night. I was suffering from muscle spasms in my left leg that were waking me up and causing me incredible pain, ruining my life. And thanks to prayers from Victoria Soldier, Steve, and many others, and some good counsel on the prayer wall, the problem was healed. I'm forever grateful for that. To all of you, thank you. Prayer request for my son's fiance, Nicole, who 2 years ago went through a 12-hour surgery to remove an avocado-sized tumor from the back of her head. A small piece was left behind that was covered in nerves. And that has grown back now 2 years later. It's the size of a golf ball. A few weeks ago, she went through some radiation therapy try to mitigate it and won't know until September whether it was successful. And I just ask that you pray for my son's fiance, Nicole, that this procedure was successful and that this tumor doesn't come back and that is permanently healed so that he and she can enjoy life and she doesn't have to be constantly worrying about this and struggling with it. Also, I just want to say many thanks to Brian, Jill, China, whole from Hardin family for the blessing of Daily Audio Bible, which for me, the last 17 years or so, and my wife, to become part of our daily ritual. Of course, the Daily Audio Bible chronological, my evening ritual, life-changing. Thank you, God.
Seeking your face at the start of my day, I found that for me, there's no better way. In fact, you said to acknowledge you in all of my ways and to bring all my thoughts in subjection to the Christ whenever my mind and heart strays. Because trouble surrounds me wherever I go. Health problems, family problems, bills, a sack full of woe. Should I try to work it all out with the strength of my own hands? Or stand in faith and wait on you, ignoring my heart's well thought out but impatient plans? Because you said, the wisdom of man is foolishness to you. And I know all your words are faithful and true. So I'm seeking your face at the start of my day, because I know that for me, there's no better way. BlindTony1016@gmail.com. I'd like to give a shout out to Arthur Lee Maxwell. I want to give you best wishes and congratulations on your getting married. And I pray that you and your husband have many fruitful, happy years together. Hopefully in service to the Lord. And once again, Brian and the Hardin family, I want to thank you for this wonderful podcast for God's Holy Spirit to flow.
Daily Audio Bible family, this is Lawrence in Atlanta. I've been listening for over 15 years, and this ministry has brought me joy, has helped me through some of the toughest times in my life, and has been the single most rewarding thing that I've done to get to know God and have community with fellow Christians. I'm coming to you today because I'm just broken and in need of prayer. My marriage has been really tough over the past 14 years. God's blessed us with wonderful children and blessed us with successful businesses, but the relationship between my wife and I has been very dysfunctional, unhealthy, in a bunch of different areas. And over years, I have built up a lot of resentment and anger towards her, and I've acted out. And I'm afraid that what I've done has destroyed my family. So I formed an emotional relationship with someone I work with. And my heart, more than anything, wants to be with that person, wants to spend time with them instead of my own wife. My wife is devastated. She's hurting so bad. All my family and friends around me are furious with me for not wanting to work it out with my wife. My heart is hard. It is not softened. I've asked God to soften my heart towards my wife, but it's just not what I want. And I feel that what I...
Hi, beautiful family. This is Prisoner of Hope. I am lifting up Bernie and your marriage. Father, he is struggling, he and his wife, in their marriage, and they need your help. They need your strength to keep going and your wisdom to know what to do. Please help them to love one another in the way that you love them, and just help them to forgive and heal and work on restoration. And please protect their beautiful children as they go through this. A man called in asking for financial provisions for his family. Your dad's in Kansas. Your mom passed away a couple of years ago. And your grandmother recently passed away. And then remorseful sinner, you need a financial miracle as well. I want to pray for both of you. Lord, please help this man and remorseful sinner to manage and steward what finances they do have with wisdom and diligence. Please help them with their debt, be their Jehovah Jireh, and grant their lives the financial breakthrough that they so badly need. And please especially help remorseful sinner to have energy and lift her out of any depression and give her what she needs so she can go out and find a job. Searching for beauty, it looks like you have stage 4 cancer. I want to pray for you and your daughters. Almighty God, by the power of your healing hand, may searching for beauty experience health, strength, and peace. Just please alleviate the suffering that she's going through and continue to help her in her relationship, the relationships with her daughters, and extend her life to be with them according to your will. Manita, you are just going through a really terrible time. You didn't say what, but I just love you so much, and I'm going to pray for you. Dear God, please give Manita strength, courage, love, encouragement, comfort, and a fresh portion of your hope to help her with whatever she's going through. Thank you that you are on the throne, Lord, always our God. Please be near to her and rescue her from her fears and hurts, and help her to remember that this trial will not last forever. We ask all these things in the beautiful and powerful, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.